Now whoever gets her in the middle of the night is going to have to avoid the ball pit.
Well, I mean, I was able to successfully avoid the ball pit before, so I don't know why I wouldn't be able to avoid the ball pit now.
Closer to a crib now. Normally it's like, whoop,
okay,
over there.
But, I mean, I didn't hit the ball pit when I was up there with her in the dark just now.
Because you walked up there with the lights on.
You don't know that.
Okay, whatever.
You don't know my life.
Okay.
Hello, and welcome to the Cheap Wine Parenting Podcast, where we talk about cheap wine and parenting and sometimes podcasting, too. My name is Michael.
And I'm Jessica.
And we are parents who drink cheap wine. So, Jessica, what is today's cheap wine?
Today's cheap wine is from Target, and we are unsure of how much it cost. We are going to be buying bottles under $10 every time.
So this was either $6 or $9, and we got in a fight about it already.
I mean, I don't think we got in a fight about it. I just thought that $9 was expensive. It's on, as you can tell, if we're going to spend $10 or less, it's on the tippy top of our price range.
If it was $9. If it was $6, it's only 60% to the top.
So, not a fight, just a disagreement. Anyway, it's from Target. It's California Roots Red Blend. And, yeah, $6 or $9, $9 or $6, whatever you want to say. I do remember grabbing it. We were in the process of giving our daughter a bottle.
Oh yeah, she dropped her bib right outside the display.
Uh-huh. Or the burp cloth, what was it? It doesn't matter. We had her, we were focused. I was a little feisty. It happens. So, Michael, so far, what do you think of it?
I would drink more of it. So just to go into a little bit more detail about this, it is the California Roots Red Blend, as Jessica said. It has, according to the label, again, it's from Target. I want to be really clear about that. It has the best ingredients for a good life, which are simple. Good food, good friends, and good wine. It's one of these things. Crafted from premium grapes grown under the warm California sun, our red blend's smooth berry and cherry flavors with hints of spice offer the perfect antidote to the work week, which is what they have. Work week is one word, which I'm not sure I agree with this. This wine pairs perfectly with wild mushroom pasta and grilled vegetables. Enjoy pure vineyard to table goodness in every sip. If I would have read this fucking description before I bought this wine, I would not have purchased it. I'm just being honest. This is so poorly written. I'm a decent reader. Like, I can read at like a third grade level at least, and that was hard for me. And it's not even about the wine. So, I would like to say that we didn't pair it with mushrooms. Sorry, we're topping off the glass if you hear it. We did not pair it with mushroom pasta. We had a gluten-free pasta with tofu for dinner, if you want to know what kind of people we are.
Chickpea pasta.
Chickpea.
So people are into that and being healthy right now. Whatever, people are into the gluten-free thing too. I am in it for allergy reasons, and if you're in it for diet and the fad thing, you do you, people. But yeah. Chickpea pasta, tofu.
Just do you. Why do we eat tofu? Because killing animals is unnecessary.
That is for a later podcast.
I'll drink to that. Okay, so moving on. So I think it's important that, since this is probably the first episode that we'll release, that we talk a little bit about who we are and about us being parents and our extensive experience that qualifies us to have our own podcast. So I am 30-something and a father of one child and two dogs and one cat. RIP to the other cats. And pour one out for them later. And I didn't kill them. They died naturally.
Oh my gosh.
And I work in the business world. I do business work. I mean, like, I work a jobby job. Let's be honest. I don't do business work. I work in an industry that is a business where it's a multi-billion-dollar industry and a multi-billion-dollar company, and we sell big things that are made of metal, mostly, primarily.
You make it sound like you're kind of a douche.
Yeah, you've accused me of being a douche at work before based on the stories that I tell you, so.
That is factually correct.
But I don't think I am now. Okay. I think I'm a very friendly, approachable human being.
Okay.
Now tell us about you.
Hello, I am also a 30-something. I don't know, am I in my mid-30s? Ugh. I am a mid-30. Ugh. Whatever, I don't mind the age thing. I feel great. Mother of one daughter. Human daughter. Two dogs, as Michael said. And one kitty cat. So, I am recently a stay-at-home mom. I left my job in the jobby job retail world in 3 months ago-ish. Yeah, 3 months ago. 3.5 months ago. And it's been a good decision so far.
Co-sign. Because those daycare bills are a bitch, as we learned in the first few months. It's true. Parents out there will relate. Pour one out for your wallets. Okay. So let's talk about our child, who is a daughter, according to Jessica. So, actually, I'm going to confront you with something right now on the podcast. So, I just put our daughter to bed. Mm-hmm. We have the monitor here. Oh, let's talk about that first, actually. I think that would be a good segue. So, where are we recording, Jessica?
We are recording in our closet.
Yeah. For the best acoustics without spending any money.
Correct.
So, we recorded at the dining room table, but you could hear things echoing because we have wood floors because we're fancy. And it was too much. So now we're sitting in our closet, and our closet looks out the front of the house. So we're hoping somebody walks by and wonders why people are drinking wine in their closet. But
and we can just wave to them because we're new to the neighborhood. So maybe they haven't noticed that we have a kid. So maybe if they have noticed, they were just like, oh, trying to get away from the kid. Ha ha.
I'll send them a link to my SoundCloud/Anchor.
Cool.
So anyway, calling you out. I put the child to bed, as I often do, little M, as we like to call her, and she had a dirty diaper, like an extensively dirty, long-term dirty diaper. Like it had, the poop was two colors because some of it had dried in the air, dirty. So I think, I mean, she was definitely ready for bed and upset, but this might have exacerbated the situation. So this is my confrontation. I still love you, but I didn't smell it either, if that's any consolation.
So, my bad. I did not realize it. Don't you fucking ask me.
I was wondering if you, like, had one of those, oh, yeah, I noticed she was pooping and then I forgot because I was busy doing mom stuff.
No, I don't remember it.
Okay.
It's wild.
That's wild.
Because she's very noisy when she poops.
I think she gets that from her dad.
Oh, my gosh.
That's not true.
Anyway, I apologize, sir, and don't give me shit because you were with her, too.
That's true.
So.
I didn't smell it.
Cool.
Okay, so when was little M born? Today is September 12th? 13th. Oh, it's Friday the 13th. So she was born a little more than 8 months ago. So we have an 8-month-old. She's 8 months old. And so our life has been significantly different the last 8 months than it was the 8 months before that, or the 8 months before those, or even the 8 months that came before those 8 months. So, what's the backstory? I guess, I mean, if you want to, I have, this is, I'm reading the show notes. This is what I put in the doc. What's the backstory? So what happened was, 9 months before she was born, we did sex. And then we found out like 2 months later. Or, and I don't know how this works, really. But one day, Jessica came out of the bathroom and was like, I'm pregnant? Question mark? And I was like, well, that's, you weren't supposed to look at the test. That's not how this works. So, and then we had a baby.
Yes.
That's my story.
That is exactly how it happened.
You have nothing to add?
I don't know what you want me to add. So, me saying that I'm pregnant makes it sound like I did it without you knowing.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mean it like that.
Anything
okay.
Like that. Like, we went to dinner with friends, as we do every Tuesday night. I suspected that I was pregnant because I was sick. And bought a pregnancy test on the way home. We met at dinner, so I took it that night. And we didn't confirm or deny that I should or should not look at the test without you. Yes, I probably should have waited, but just, like, things happened.
So you think that just because you have the baby inside you and the magical pee that you should that you should be able to see the results first?
Apparently, yes.
Okay. And to be clear, we were trying to have a baby. Like, we had been on a vacation a couple of months before, and we decided that we had had all the fun we could possibly have in our life, and nothing else good could happen, and to quote Mike Birbiglia. And so we decided that it was time, because we were 30-whatever. I was 32 at the time, and so we just decided that it was time, and everyone had more or less decided that we weren't going to have a child, but we decided that we were going to have a child, and so we were trying, which means...
That is correct.
That means things that you know that it means.
Yeah, we don't need to go into detail.
Yeah, yeah. But just, like, people are, like, people ask the question, you know? Like, we've talked about this off the podcast. Because most of the things we've talked about in life so far have been off the podcast.
Correct.
But, like, people ask, like, oh, are you trying? Or, like, how did it happen? Or, like, I don't know, like...
Do you want an inappropriate answer, people? Like, yeah. That's so inappropriate. Like, it's already, like... You had sex to make this baby. What you want to know, like, what we were doing and when, and
like the position.
Like, it's just so ugh, so weird that if we have another one, or even if someone is like, hey, are you gonna try for a second or something like that, we should give a very inappropriate answer. Just like, well, you asked for it, people. That is Michael pouring his wine, if you can hear it.
Not peeing.
He is not peeing. No one is peeing.
That's the end of the bottle. So we... Last call. I don't know what that means. We gotta come up with some sort of thing for this.
Okay.
So, any more to add to the backstory?
I don't think so. Agreed. Mostly, I think.
Yeah. So we had, I mean, she... Grew a baby.
Yes.
In a normal amount of time.
Yes.
Had a normal childbirth, I would say.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, plooped it out.
Ploop.
With an L. And here we are 8 months later and some days, and it's good. I think we made the right decision, which is good because the return policy at the hospital was not very favorable.
True.
So... The next point of discussion then. How has being a parent changed us? That's you and me.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly don't feel that different. That's my story. But I will be willing to elaborate after I let you take this question first.
Interesting. Okay. So, as I mentioned before, I am a stay-at-home mom now. So, it has changed my life dramatically. Where I went from working on a good week, 48 hours a week, supposed to work 50, and usually a little more, just, you know, if you get there 10 minutes early and you leave 10 minutes late, it adds up. So, it's crazy to not have to work now, to not have anywhere to be. I was a manager, so... I told an employee of quite a few years ago that I didn't mean to be offensive, but I can't wait for a vacation because I'm tired of babysitting everyone. And she understood, and I knew I could tell her because she was fine. So, she was like, yeah, I hear you. I forget what she said, but I had some experience in babysitting adults. I know that sounds rude, but you know what? It happened. So, my life has changed dramatically now that my day is planned. I have to work out her feeding schedule and her sleeping schedule. When is the best time to go out? What do I do to entertain this little human all day? How can I make her grow as a person and learn things like her numbers, her colors, her animals, words and things like that, like crawling and walking, since we're working on the crawling right now. Like, I mean, if she doesn't know it, it's basically on me. And not really, like, I know kids learn at different rates, and if she was in daycare, then maybe she would have learned earlier, maybe she wouldn't have. Shout out to daycare, because she was in daycare for a couple months, 3 months, 2.5 months, And she loved it. We loved it. It was wonderful for her. So I just want to say that right now. But it's been good. We've been very lucky with her. Very. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. She's an amazing baby. And she sleeps. She slept through the night almost her entire life. And, I mean, there's been rocky nights, but it's not been rocky periods.
Right.
And so.
And we're talking, like, from most of her life, like, being, like, 5 weeks legit sleeping, 8 to 10 hours a night. Even before that, you know, when she's born, they're like, don't go longer than 4 to 6 hours with feeding her. And I'd set an alarm in the middle of the night because she slept so well. And finally, and she gained weight really well. So finally my friends were like, no, she'll wake you up if she's hungry. So I let her sleep. If she slept 7 hours, she slept 7 hours. And then other nights she maybe only slept 4. But either way, like, she's been great. So it's been crazy different, but a good different. And people still like us, I think. They want to know about her, but they still like us. We're still up there. Because most of the time when people have babies, it's like, eh, you don't matter anymore.
Yeah, but I don't think that's been the case. So, like you talked about, we had friends, and certainly we'll delve into why we don't have friends anymore. But we had friends that we used to visit with all the time. Every Tuesday we'd have dinner with them. And, I mean, I think they still enjoyed seeing us, but they enjoyed integrating our daughter into their life as well. So I think we still have maintained our personality as people, and we're not just parents, and people still like us, and they still like our child.
It's true, because a lot of people, so we had, for what, like the first 5 or 6 weeks of her life, we had people visiting every week, whether it was for like one night, or just a couple hours, or like multiple nights in a row. Someone that came 2 or 3 weeks after she was born said that they made it so they would want to have a kid, because most people, especially first-time parents, are like, oh, did you wash your hands? Stay away. I can't go out in the world. There's so many germs. And we were like, the doctor said it's cool to go out. We'll cover her with the car seat cover, and let's drive 2 hours to IKEA. Let's go downtown and get dinner while you're visiting. So, like, and again, that goes back to her being a good baby, that she was good enough to do that when she was that young, but we didn't want our life to dramatically change, at least not that quickly. And it didn't.
Yeah, so I'd say we kind of, we eased into being parents as best you can. Like, we only missed one night of our weekly Tuesday pizza night in 1 week, mm-hmm. Right? So, yep. I mean, it just all kind of worked out for us, and we're super happy about that, and really just super, I don't know how to say it, but like, just really appreciative of her, and really, I don't know, really thankful for who she is. And we understand that not everyone's experience is that way, and so I know that it could turn on a dime at any time, that we could have the worst 1-year-old or the worst 2-year-old ever, but it's been really nice. And for someone who was not sure that he ever wanted to have children, she's been a real, something that really affirms to me that it's the right decision. And, so it's been really cool.
So, long-winded answer and open discussion here. How has it changed your life, Michael?
It's
or mostly, how has it not? Because you said it hasn't really changed your life.
So I would say that the primary effect, and it's not a bad effect, honestly, is that it makes me feel guilty about spending so much time on social media. Like, how do you squeeze in more Instagram time when you have this child to pay attention to? And it's really terrible to say, and it's whatever, but it speaks to culture today, where I still feel compelled to be on my phone while holding my child instead of taking it in her every movement. And I think it's nice that I'm able to share her experiences and her growth through these social platforms, but at the same time, it's pretty horrible that I feel compelled and drawn in by their terrible algorithms. And it's all on me. Like, I don't blame technology companies for my failings, but if anything, that's the most significant change. So I still, you know, I go to work and work my 8 hours and come home, and that's it. And then I come home, and instead of just vegetating on the couch silently or decompressing on our days, like, I want to be involved in parenting, and I'm not as involved as I could be or as I should be. Honestly, I'm not as good at taking over from Jessica now that she's a stay-at-home mom as I could be or I should be, but that's how it's changed primarily for me, is in that, and also too in the mornings or whatever, like trying to be the person who can take some of the load off Jessica and wake up and let her get the baby when it's possible and when it makes sense and when I don't have other things to do, like run or get to work early or read Twitter. So, but yeah, I mean, my life is not so different in a macro sense. Now, when you zoom into the micro, obviously there are some significant life changes we've experienced that we'll delve into in future episodes. But in terms of the what's changed simply from not having a child to having a child, it's not, I don't feel like it's that much. Like, I'm a super proud dad. Like, if it comes up at work, I'm super proud to talk about it. She's my background on my phone instead of something else, but primarily my primary effects are just that my getting home routine has changed and sometimes my morning routine has changed, but my life is not nearly as significantly changed as my partner's life.
Partner?
No, like, I think my wife, but like, okay. Can it be both, or do you want to be called my wife? Do you not like being called my partner?
I know it doesn't matter because there are people that just never get married, but I like being called your wife.
My wife. Okay, but what if I called you Mrs. Michael Young?
No.
Oh, I'm going to bleep my last name.
Because I am not your property. When you say Mrs. Michael Smith or Mrs. Michael Stern, like, that means that, like, she is, to me, she is your property. And I am my own person.
So why didn't you keep your last name? Why did you change your last name?
Because I just always thought that I would change my name.
Okay.
And it was a interesting last name, hard to pronounce, and this is, it's a more common, easier name.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Smith is very common.
Smith is very common.
Okay, so we'll delve into a main topic. So every episode, we're going to have at least one of our main topics to get into. It's, you call it the meat and potatoes of the episode, something that we'll talk about at longer length. I might be cribbing that from a different podcast, so maybe we'll come up with our own. Certainly hit us up on social if you want to talk about it. Actually,
if you could have seen his hand motions right there. It would have been amazing.
If you've ever been around me, you've seen my hand motions. But before we do that, I want to finish my wine. And so I think that we need to give a more detailed critique of the wine. So
yes. This
is the California Roots Red Mix, which is probably just like we
red
have...
Blend.
Red Blend, which is like a mix. I think the blend and mix are synonyms. Okay. And so it's effectively the same thing. So I think... I mean, my impression, if you talk about a red blend, is like, okay, we had some shit at the bottom of the barrels and we just kind of mixed it together. And so I'll let you go first since you just took a swig, but give me your fancy wine tasting review of the California Roots Red Mix blend.
So I would like to preface this with, we are not wine tasters, experts, anything like that. So do not at us. Do not hit us up and be like, I tasted this. Like, everyone's palate is different, especially us who are not wine experts. So, a little backstory on me. I like fruity, bubbly wine, like a sparkling Moscato, a sparkling rosé, things like that. So, smooth, fruity stuff for me. And honestly, like, I was a little nervous about buying a red blend because I know it can be very, like, tart almost, and like hard to hard to take, and this is not. And I didn't drink anything before. All I had was water before. It's not like I already had something in me to make this. So it's not bad. There's definitely that wine aftertaste, that tartness, if that's just what I'm going to say. I don't know how to describe it. It's definitely there, but it's fruity. And if it's $9, I don't think it's worth $9. It's not bad.
I think you have pretty high standards, I guess, if this isn't worth $9. Like, I think, I don't know, I think maybe if we get enough listens, we can start to buy some more expensive wines, like maybe $15.
Ooh, but, fancy.
But, I mean, we'll go down to some $3 wines from here. But my review of this is that it's dry a little bit. It's got a really dry feel to it at the end, which I think is what you're confusing with tart. But I wouldn't say that it's tart at all. As someone who loves to drink sour beers, so my palate might be corrupted a little bit in this case, because I had an Oktoberfest beer from the Goodwood Brewing Company in Louisville, Kentucky before this. But but yeah, it's got a nice dry flavor. It's easy drinking, I would say. So yeah, I mean, I would drink this wine again, even if it were $9. I think that I got my money's worth out of it. And but yeah, certainly we'll move on to sampling other things in the future, where maybe it's a better value proposition for you. So our first major topic then of the series and of this episode will be, that's my drum roll, being a dog parent first. So as I alluded to in my introduction, we have more than a baby. We have two dogs and some other animals.
A cat.
Oh yeah, we have a cat, and we've had in our lifetime together two other cats who have departed this mortal coil, and
so we missed them. So that's three cats total.
Three carts. So, we have the cat, and nobody's a cat mom. I won't say nobody, no offense, but like...
That's true. Why is that? Why is it a dog mom and then you're just a crazy cat lady?
Because cats don't give a shit about you. Cats will eat you.
Our cat cares about us.
No, he cares about us giving him food.
I mean, that's true.
He does not give a shit about
us.
But
the all black cat, are we saying names?
Yeah, they're cats. Nobody's going to be like, yo, I looked you up on the internet, your cat name. I mean, okay. It's a super unique cat name.
So anyway.
But like Saves, who was my cat, my first cat that I got when I was 18 years old and got tricked into it.
Yeah, as a high school graduation present. Who gives that as a high school graduation present?
I'm not confident it was
when you are moving present. Out into a dorm for college.
I'm not confident it was a graduation present, but you're right.
Anyway, so, she was very cuddly and she wasn't always asking for food.
Okay, but like, hear me out here.
Okay.
When I'm cuddly, I'm looking for something. And I think that she was also looking for something else.
What was she looking for?
I mean, she just, like...
She wanted pets?
Yeah, she wanted the pets. Like, she wasn't cuddly. She was, like, pet me or I'll bite your fucking face off.
I mean, but this cat right now that we have, Cheeto, when we first rescued him, let's be real, because he was in our apartment complex in December in... the Cincinnati area, and it was winter, it was cold, and I was like, come inside, and shortly after, like, we just kept him, no one claimed him. Anyway, he bit me when I was petting him, so, like, that doesn't really matter.
He bit me in my sleep once, I don't know what you want me to say.
I know, but Saves wasn't like, pet me or I'll bite you, she was just like, give me some loving. Yeah. And this other cat, Cheeto, is like, oh, you pet me? Okay. And, like, bit us.
Yeah, he doesn't do that anymore because he doesn't have any teeth.
That is factually correct.
This is...
Anyway, that's a really long thing. Tangent. It's just crazy to think, my mind is blown right now, that you're a dog mom, a dog dad, but you're not a cat mom or cat dad.
I'm glad I blew your mind.
Anyway, let's move on.
So we were a dog parent first. So
yes,
Frisky is our dog who I would say we would consider our firstborn.
Yes.
She was born on
July
21st.
I don't remember. 21st, 22nd, 23rd.
July 20-something in 2009.
Correct.
She's 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's old, but not that old. Yeah. She's still very spry.
She is very spry.
So, we were definitely dog parents for almost 10 entire years. I mean, Frisky lived with her grandparents.
First, before both, she lived with us.
Yeah, and so we got her when she was under a year old, but still, like, not a puppy. But yeah.
You're right. We didn't get her, like, pure puppy stage.
Yeah, like, moderate puppy stage.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, we raised a dog who we're proud of. And then we have another dog called Turbo, who we found at a Wendy's drive-thru. And I don't know, should we go into the full story
here? Let's just do it.
Okay, so... we went to a beer fest in the city that we were living in at the time, which is not the city that we live in now. And, yeah, look at me. You know, sorry, the closet has a window. And I'm looking out the window and somebody's driving down the street slowly. And
it's our neighbors.
Okay, well. Anyway, so we went to this beer fest and I got really drunk, as one does at a beer fest. And
someone had to drive home, so this girl did not get drunk.
Jessica didn't get drunk. She's a hero, and because there's no ciders in Tennessee, if we're being honest.
That's
and
true.
So as we're getting close to home, we get off at our exit, or we're getting off, and Jessica's like, I want a Frosty, because of course that's what any good human wants.
Any sober human wants.
Yeah,
let's
of course.
Throw that out there. Yeah, sober, Frosty and fries.
Frosty and fries, as you do. And so we go to the Wendy's, and Jessica orders a Frosty, and the Frosty machine is broken, out of commission, no Frosties. So she orders fries. And we pull around, and there's this little beagle walking around. I don't remember. I was drunk as shit. So,
little beagle runs, like, across the parking lot and goes to, like, the drive-thru window and, like, jumps on the building and puts his little paws up and, like, looks in the window. And I am the girl who wants to rescue. Obviously, we have a cat that I rescued. I went to rescue all the animals.
All the animals. Literally.
One time I rescued a dog that was walking down our street and put it in the backyard, and I opened the door, went back inside, and was like, hey, Michael, there's a dog in our backyard. I gotta go to work, but I didn't want it to get hit by a car. And I legit went to work, and I told my boss at the time that I was probably getting a divorce because he was really angry at me. So that's just who I am. But anyway, the little pup just put his paws on the building like, hey, what's up? I'm here.
Yep. So then Jessica invited him into her car, which was my car. And,
okay. What you're...
What? One. It was my car.
Okay.
I mean, in so much as one has a car assigned to them, it was my car.
Okay.
And... so the dog came in the car, as you would do if you were a stray ass dog. And
Michael was very unhappy, and the dog was in the back seat, and I was driving, Michael was in the passenger seat. And I was like, hey there, little pupper, whatever. And Michael was yelling at it and trying to get him. Did we already say his name?
Turbo,
if we didn't say his name. His name is Turbo. He's a beagle. So he's trying to get this beagle out of the car. And he's like, get out of my car, you dumb dog. And the Turbo just kept going from like seat to seat to get out of Michael's reach. And it was a mess.
Okay, but to make a long story short, the shelter was closed the next day, so we couldn't drop him off, and it was
and
closed
the day
after that, so mm-hmm. we couldn't drop him off, and by Tuesday, we had an attachment, and so now we own a beagle.
Correct. I did post a thing on Facebook where we found him. There is a kennel close by, a doggy daycare, and I called them to see if they lost a beagle from this doggy daycare. They did not. No one claimed him. He did not have a chip. I went there to a vet the next morning. No one claimed him, so we kept him.
That was a beagle bark.
And if you hear that, it's because there's a dog barking.
Yeah. Apparently. We have a beagle.
Yes.
And a lab boxer.
Yes.
So, we were parents to these dogs first. So how does being a dog parent compare to being a real parent? And I had a now former coworker who basically said that you can't compare the two, that it's offensive to say that and parenting a dog is anything like parenting a human. So, Jessica, how do you feel about this kind of statement as a dog parent who's also a human parent?
So, I mean, I wouldn't say that it's offensive, but obviously it's different. Like, we both understand that it is very different because even as a puppy, you can leave this dog alone, more than likely in a crate of some kind, and the dog can be fine. You can't do that with a human baby. So, we understand that. However, I would not be offended because taking care of a puppy is a lot of work. You have to take them outside in the middle of the night. You have to potty train them. We got very lucky that Frisky was already potty trained when we got her, and Turbo, this stray that we didn't know, only had like 3 accidents, something absurd, in the cage, the crate when we got him. So we understand that that's different, but like, they're similar in ways. They, depending on the breed, they desire attention all the time. They need to be played with. They need to learn things. Like, they need to learn manners. They need to learn commands and things like that. So like, I find myself talking to Lil M the way that I talk to the dogs. And I have said, like, I tell the dogs, like, use your words, because Frisky, the lab boxer mix, can howl. And I can tell her, use your words, and she'll howl, like, if she wants to go outside or something like that. So, I don't get offended. People that say that are just douchebags.
No.
I don't know. I don't think they're douchebags. But, I mean, people that say that it is rude to say that dogs are similar to kids just have a stick up them. That it's similar in a way. And people are allowed to say that, especially, like, when you've had both. Like, I get it. And some people, I don't know. I'm getting off track. So how do you feel about that?
So I would say that being a dog parent helped us at least to prepare for being human parents. Like, we kept this being alive, a very dependent being in the situation of a house dog or whatever. Like, they depend on you to feed them at certain intervals, and they require your attention at other intervals to go outside or because they're hungry or whatever. And so that's a preparation step, certainly not a necessary one, but it's a step that prepares you for what it's like to have another being that's dependent on you. And so in that way, like, I think that there are some similarities. There's obviously some very significant differences that I understand could offend people. Like, a child is a lot more work and requires a lot more attention from a young age, but there's similarities, but I certainly wouldn't consider them equivalent. But that said, like, if I said I was up all night with my baby and someone said, oh, I was up all night with my dog, I wouldn't hate them for it instantly or judge them or anything like this, I don't think.
For sure. And when I was like 7.5, almost 8 months pregnant, we took a little mini vacation. Some people may call it a baby moon. The dogs went to doggy daycare and got boarded for a few nights. Anyway, we got home, they got home, and they had some kind of stomach bug, both of them. And it was not ideal. They were puking and pooping all over the house. And like, there were 2 or 3 nights in a row that both of us, different nights, had to sleep on the couch because they'd wake up and need to go outside. So, like, obviously it's not as often as a human baby does this, but dogs do it too. So I was like, well, I guess they're just teaching us this. One of them puked down a vent. Like, ugh. So there's similarities, as Michael said, but obviously there are major differences.
So it's been almost a year, and I think I blocked all this out. So it's pretty nice, actually. I forgot about all these things. But yeah, it's similar, but different. So, I mean, with that, I don't think there's any better way to close out a show than by talking about poop and puke, so...
True.
We'll try to make this a trend in the future. So, thanks a lot for making it through all these minutes with us. It's been a lot of your time invested, and if you enjoyed it, please like and subscribe, and tell all your friends, and ding that notification bell. This isn't YouTube, though, so don't... There's no notification bell, but... Remember that you can find us on all the great podcast platforms. So, so yeah, this has been Cheap Wine Parenting Podcast. And any closing words, Jessica? Say something funny.
I hope your child or animal does not puke down a vent anytime soon. Okay, everyone, get out. Get the fuck out. Come on. Go. Go. Go.